Just 5 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Good afternoon, Northern Colorado. It is the whole show powered by PDC Energy. And as always, I'm live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. I'm just trying to keep track of everything. We got conference awards coming out like crazy. Good news for all of them. UNC, CSU, CU. We're getting into conference championship week. A lot of games coming up. Short time to talk about it. So we got all that. Plus the NBA All-Star game. Nikola Jokic didn't stuff the stat sheet by any means, but I think he kind of stole the show just with his attitude and the kind of guy he is. So we're going to talk about that a little bit later on. But first and foremost, one of my good friends, Zach Stevens, one of my good friends that I've only met via this show. It's kind of crazy, but Zach Stevens, great guy from DNVR Broncos. Zach, my man, how was the weekend?
Brady, what's going on? It was great, not eventful, but that's going to change soon, Brady. I'm just enjoying these next couple days where Broncos news is on the down low until it all explodes next week. We are 1 week away from the legal tampering period to begin, and of course, just so weird that there's a legal tampering period.
Yeah, it's such a strange time. Like, you can't talk to them now, but you can have the exact same conversations next week, but don't do it in this period of time. It's always kind of interesting.
It certainly is. And then, of course, the legal tampering period opens next Monday, and there's 48 hours until it officially begins when you can sign players. So bizarre.
Do you ever see, okay, you're in the thick of this all the time with the Broncos information, but really all of the NFL news and legalities and all that. I mean, do you ever just like step back and say, this is kind of absurd, just some of the rules that they have, both sometimes even on the field, but certainly off the field, just some of the rules surrounding the NFL?
Oh my gosh, of course. Just like you said, not just with on the field stuff, but you know, at the end of the day, this is a game. And it's so funny with how serious things are taken. And I understand how, you know, when the game's being played, how serious it is, but all of the formalities that come with it. Because Brady, in all honesty, the legal tampering period, another reason why it's kind of a joke is because the illegal tampering period pretty much starts at the combine. So actually, that kind of throws an interesting curve in all of this, that there was no combine. So there really hasn't been much illegal tampering going on up to this point. So we've seen a lot of deals in the past where right when the legal tampering period opens, you know, it opens at, you know, noon, we see deals come down at 12:01 for, you know, 5 years, $100 million. Wait, you didn't do that in 1 minute. So, but here's the thing with this year is we actually may not see those things happen. We may see, you know, a couple hours to negotiate the $100 million deal. So it may be a tad bit different in that sense.
Yeah, no question. It's bizarro world for sure. All right. So last week we had you on, of course, Friday, with the breaking news, Justin Simmons getting the franchise tag. All signs point to something getting done between Justin Simmons and the Broncos. So for now, I'm going to chalk that one up to a positive. I'm not going to worry about it right now. I'm not going to stress about it anymore until we hear otherwise, Zach. But the next thing on the list, how about Von Miller? Sounds like charges will not be filed against Von. So we can clear that out of the way. And now it's all football here. Is that the gist of that side of it?
Exactly. It's all football, and that's how George Payton wanted to make this decision, and now we know that for sure. That news came down on Friday, and he has about a week to make that decision, whether or not to pick up Von Miller's contract option. And Brady, I've been saying on this show for weeks and months now to this point that I did not think there was any chance Von Miller was going to be back with the Broncos in 2021. Under the contract that he has now, which is $22 million cap hit, $18 million in cash, and only $4 million in dead money, and I have to change that. I think there's a chance that they just pick that up and proceed with that 1 year left on his deal just because of how it's coming down to right now. You see the market shaping up. J.J. Watt's two-year, $31 million contract that he got, that sets up a market where it's going to be very hard to ask Von Miller to take a pay cut. And if you're going to ask him to take a pay cut to down to $15.5 million, well, then you're also going to be extending him for one or two more years. And maybe at the end of the day, George Payton just says, you know what, we're just going to roll with Von this year, see what he has left coming off the injury, coming off an 8-sack season. I'd rather be tied up to Von for 1 year, $18 million, than let's say 3 years, $55 million, something like that, if you'd have to give him an extension now. So I wouldn't be shocked now if they do go down the route of just picking up that contract option. Now, I do think that George Payton wants to get that number down, but what's it going to be? Is it going to be a one-year, $15 million deal where they bring that cap hit down from 22 to 15? Maybe, and I think that's a deal that a lot of people could get behind. But originally, a lot of people were thinking that maybe you get Vaughn down to, you know, 10, 12 million. With the court case now settled and him not going to be charged, and along with the way the market's setting up, man, you may have no choice but to pick up that option.
Wow, what a difference a few weeks and a big J.J. Watt signing. What a difference all that stuff really makes. Okay, so all right, so we're thinking maybe Vaughn stays, and maybe there's no movement as far as the price tag for Vaughn, and we just stick with it. What does that then do when we move down the line, looking at Kareem Jackson? Because, again, there's still a lot of Broncos fans out there that are hopeful somehow, some way, a Deshaun Watson trade happens. But don't you have to start being pretty careful? If you keep Vaughn's contract in Denver, I mean, what do we have left here? I mean, if you take care of Kareem Jackson, you pick up that option. You hope to sign maybe a free agent or two. And then obviously you have to have something left over for rookies. So what does that do for some of those big names? Kareem, Deshaun, draft, free agency.
Yeah, well, what it does, Brady, is the Broncos are sitting in a great position with $45 million in cap space. That's top five in the NFL. But if you keep Vaughn, you keep Kareem, you pick up his option, he's going to cost you $12.8 million against the cap. And then you sign Shelby Harris, let's say 3 years, $30 million, $10 million for him. And you also pick up second-round tender options for Tim Patrick, Philip Lindsay, and Alexander Johnson. That's going to cost you over $10 million in total for them. Once you do all of those things, then you have no more money left. You can't sign anyone else. So what it means is free agency is actually going to be boring because it's going to be keeping all of your own players, unless George Payton wants to really kick the can down the road. And let's say instead of picking up Vaughn's option, they give him 2 years or 3 year contract for $50 million and they backload it. So a lot of the cap hits come in year two and year three to free up some money this year. Same with Kareem Jackson. They could rework an extension for him. If Shelby Harris's deal that he's likely to get, if that comes in the form of a 3 year deal and they kick the can down the road for them, they could do that to free up a lot of cap space this year. But Brady, my question would be, why would you do that? You know, if the Broncos were in win now mode and legitimate win now, then I get kicking the can down the road. But you don't want to be the New Orleans Saints where they're having to just cut or restructure everyone on their team because they've kicked the can down the road so long. And the biggest difference between the Saints doing that when they had Drew Brees and had legitimate Super Bowl contentions was just that they were a contender. So it made sense for them to do that. And kick it down to a time when they weren't really going to contend once Drew Brees left. But now with the Broncos, why would you do that when you're not really contending this year? In fact, I would do the opposite if I was George Payton. If I'm signing Shelby Harris up to a three-year deal, I'm front-loading it so that when the Broncos are ready to compete in 2 or 3 years from now, that contract is only, you know, $5 million in salary cap, and then so you can spend the rest of that money on getting free agents here. So you're absolutely right. The Broncos aren't in a bad spot by any means. They're in a good spot, but don't expect $45 million to turn into, you know, two or three big time free agents.
Yeah, because Zach, how much do you typically want to see as far as rookie contracts go? How much are you reserving there?
You save just under $10 million. So a lot of people will say seven. It's easy just to say keep $10 million available. So that's exactly it. You take $10 million away. Okay, Broncos dealing with about $35 million in cap space this year.
Wow. Yeah. When I'm doing the math as you're talking, and yeah, you dwindle down pretty quickly, not leaving any room for, yeah, like you said, free agents. So it is very interesting, and this is something, Zach, that I wondered about as soon as George Payton was hired, and we didn't have all the Deshaun Watson talk. I wondered if Denver might just stay the course because it's this weird tweener year with the ownership situation. But then, of course, as the Deshaun Watson story started to go, I wondered about Von Miller. Of course, we talked about Justin Simmons. But it might just come all the way back to, nah, you know what? We're going to stay the course here. And as George Payton said, build through the draft.
Yep, exactly. Build through the draft, stay the course. And then, you get a better evaluation on Drew Lock. George Payton, as he told us on Thursday, he gets to see him for the first time in person now. He's met him in person because Drew's been in the facility to work out, but he's never watched him in person play. And, a general manager really wants to do that. So he gets to see that. Maybe he picks up a Gardner Minshew to also add some competition, to add some excitement, to see if he can turn anything out of that. But then he also gets to see, okay, what is Von Miller? Is he the Von Miller that he was a couple of years ago? Or is he the Von Miller where, maybe he's now a little more injury prone, and when he does play, he's more of a half a sack per game type of player, Kareem Jackson. And then, so if he stays the route, I would understand why he's doing that, just to be able to see everything on his own with a 6-year contract. He has the time to do that. But then just think about the sweeping changes that could happen next year under George Payton when he's been on the job for 14 months, free up tons of money with Von Miller off the books, tons of money with Kareem Jackson off the books, and then he can make a huge play for quarterback, whether that's trading up in the first round, whether that's drafting a guy in the first round, or, heck, maybe the Texans still haven't resolved the Deshaun Watson situation and go that route. So I wouldn't be shocked. And that was one of the first things I was told when George Payton was hired from a source. They said, don't be surprised if George Payton really just takes a step back to evaluate how everything's going on this year before making any big time moves.
No, it'll all be very interesting to see what he ultimately does year one, and then year two could be really crazy. How about Philip Lindsay? What do we know about the situation? What do we know about the tender situation for Philip Lindsay at this point?
Well, as George Payton said last week, he wants to keep every single Bronco that was on the team last year. But what he didn't say was at what cost. And when it comes down to Philip Lindsay and the tenders, he says that the Broncos are going to tender Philip Lindsay, Tim Patrick, and Alexander Johnson, but they're still deciding what tenders to use. And that's obviously the biggest thing here, because the Broncos could use a first or a second round tender. First round tender costs $4.5 million per year for each player. Second round tender costs $3.5 million per year for each player. And what that does for any of those guys, it guarantees pretty much that they're going to be Broncos in 2021. Now, if the Broncos use an original round tender, it means the Broncos will not get anything back in draft compensation if one of those guys is signed by another team. But it will allow them to match the contract for one of those guys. And because Philip Lindsay was undrafted, there won't be any compensation if you put an original round tender on. Brady, to me, it only makes sense to put a second round tender on Philip Lindsay, Alexander Johnson, and Tim Patrick. If you put a second round tender, they're back for $3.5 million for one season. No team's going to sign those guys and have to give up a second round pick to the Broncos.
Man.
However, if you mess around and you put an original round tender on, you'll save $1 million on each guy. And I think that any of those guys will be gone. So to me, it is very straightforward. If the Broncos want any of these guys back, including Philip Lindsay, stick a second round tender on them, and then they'll be back. If you don't, you're saying that you don't really want them that much.
Well, and if you don't with Philip Lindsay, then obviously there's so much stock put into Melvin Gordon one way or the other. We don't even know what that suspension situation looks like. If you don't keep Philip Lindsay, then aren't you in the market for a running back in the draft? And I'm talking probably maybe as high as a third round, if not more so, if you move on from Lindsay and unsure about Gordon, who's only, he's only got 1 year left on the contract anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you're not bringing one of these guys back, regardless of who it is, you are absolutely in the quarterback camp right now. And let's say for some reason you keep Philip Lindsay and you move on from Melvin Gordon. And then here's a situation for you, Brady. I do think it would be a day two pick, but what happens if the Broncos trade back from 9 to 18, something like that, in the first round, and then 18 to 26, George Payton just really wants to accumulate picks, which we know he wants to do. What if you trade back and then the best player on the board is Najee Harris? And you could go running back there, and that would be something. But you're right. You're not going to do something like that if you have both Philip and Melvin. But I wouldn't be surprised if the Broncos make a move at running back.
Yeah, boy. Everything you're telling me today, Zach, it almost sounds like, and we could be surprised, but we're going to run this back. We're going to see what this group has. Obviously, building the draft a little bit, but who knows how many of those guys will make an immediate impact next year. But for the most part, it sure sounds like we're going to see almost everybody back that was on this roster last year.
Yeah, that's what George Payton wants to do. Now, I wouldn't be surprised if there's a surprising move where the Broncos aren't able to get a deal with maybe Yvonne, maybe Kareem or Shelby, and one of those guys moves on. But for the most part, Brady, it's going to be a very similar squad to last year.
If they don't get something worked out with Vaughn, and like you said, it's starting to sound like there's going to be something happening one way or the other with Vaughn and staying with the Broncos. If not, does that change everything then to the Broncos? Do they get aggressive? And you know, I'm looking at the free agency list, and there's definitely some big names. Inside linebacker is going to be there. Lavonte David's name, I know that's come up a few times. Right now, it wouldn't seem possible, but if you're not going to go with Vaughn, if you can't work it out, whatever, do you see Denver then turning around saying, all right, we're going to get aggressive and get somebody in free agency?
Yep, absolutely. The Von Miller contract is, I think, where it comes down to if the Broncos spend money on free agents or not. If they move on from Vaughn, boom, there's $18 million that they can use on any free agent that they want. That could get you two very, very good players. Or obviously like an incredible player, a Von Miller type of player, yeah, is what that money could get you. If you keep Von, and assuming that everything else stays relatively the same, of course you've already tagged Justin Simmons, you keep Shelby Harris because you can't let him go, then Brady, the money's just not going to be there for anything big.
Yeah, like you said, it could be it's going to be interesting for the Broncos to see who they keep from this roster. But like you alluded to, free agency outside of Denver's own guys might be pretty boring. Zach, what are you working on for us, man, that we can check out in the next couple of days?
I'm breaking down what the Broncos are going to do with all of their own free agents. Are they going to let these guys walk? Are they going to keep them here? And of course, Brady, just getting ready for the craziness of what's going to come in the next week.
Oh, my goodness. Zach, appreciate you as always, man. And, yeah, we'll see. Maybe we do get thrown a couple of surprises down through the next couple of weeks. We'll catch up with you next week.
Hey, I look forward to it. Thanks, Brady.
All right, man. Zach Stevens, DNVR Broncos. Well, there you go. Now, the situation is interesting with Vaughn. Now you have that. The files against Vaughn were dropped, or charges will not be filed, I guess I should say. So he's in the clear there. Now it's all about football and what you want to do going forward. That whole situation is bizarre, Colfax. We didn't get a lot of information on this. All we know is that Vaughn's ex-girlfriend, I want to say. Could it be ex-fiance? Possibly. Ex-girlfriend, they were breaking up, going through issues. She became pregnant. It was, we kind of found in a roundabout way. Vaughn wasn't crazy about that. I don't know how much truth there is to some of the tweets and texts he sent or whatever. I'm not going to get into that too much. But then when it came to, okay, there might be some assault charges or something like that, she made it very clear on her own accounts that there was never anything like that, ever. No physical altercations whatsoever. Vaughn was never that guy. And then that was kind of the last we heard of it, other than the police officials basically saying, we're investigating it. Well, then today it's dropped. So I much to do about nothing? I don't know. That's where we are at this point. You know, it's innocent until proven guilty. So I would imagine we're moving right along in this situation with Vaughn. So now it comes down to, well, it does come down to, do the Broncos just run this back, pay Vaughn? Do they really want Von Miller? And if they do they just want him for the year for a test run? And that's a pretty expensive test run, right? $18 million. And if that's the case, okay, we stay here. Or you sign him for 2 to 3 years and you work out a deal, but then you're locked in if Vaughn has hit that wall. If he's hit the proverbial wall and he's not good anymore, now you're locked into 2 to 3 years, and you don't know if you want to do that just yet. So maybe they do go that route. Kareem Jackson, his money's in the books right now. So, I mean, it shows that you have $35 million left. Picking up that option with Kareem, do you work out a deal, a long-term deal, where that comes down a little bit into this year? We'll see. Philip Lindsay's the interesting one. What tender are they putting on? If he's at his original undrafted round, that would pay him $2.13 million. If the Broncos put an original undrafted round tender on him, he would get $2.13 million next year. And that also means that a team has a better chance of going after him for even $3 million, knowing they don't have to trade a second round pick. If you slap a second round tender on him, that means that not only do the Broncos have to approve a trade or approve a pickup because they can match it? If a team offers him anything, let's say $3 million, they would also have to give Denver a second-round pick. That is too expensive for Philip Lindsay. Philip Lindsay is not worth a second-round pick. I don't even know what kind of pick he is. So ultimately, if you go with the undrafted undrafted round, yeah, you open it up and he's going to get to see what's out there. And then Denver will get to decide if they want to match it. I can't imagine Lindsay at this stage getting much more than $2 or $3 million. At the beginning of last season, I thought $6 million seems reasonable, but his injuries, his lack of production went way down. He's not really receiving back, so I don't see him making much more than that. And if you slap a second-round tender on him, he's safe because no one's going to do that. So I guess we're going to find out. You know, Alexander Johnson, I like him. He's an energetic player, but he's not like a sound linebacker that's going to be, I think, you know, he's, like I said, high energy. Is he a sound? Can he cover these tight ends? That's what you're looking for because you got a lot of stud tight ends in the AFC West, specifically Travis Kelce. So you need to find somebody that can help bracket those tight ends. That'll be interesting. Tim Patrick. Tim Patrick's really intriguing because you sign him and it suddenly, you know, are you overloaded at the wide receiver position because Cortland Sutton's coming back. Tim Patrick probably makes the least amount of sense for me, just given the fact that you're getting Cortland Sutton back. You have Jerry Jeudy, you have KJ Hamler. Patrick might be overall the better of those wide receivers right now, save for Cortland Sutton. 27 minutes after the hour, a lot to bust into today. Joker in the All-Star game. We're talking Colorado State. Big news for Nico Medved. We'll get to that and so much more coming up next.
Think your bracket can win it all? Join the Hull Show's Bracket Challenge and hear the latest in hoops on 1310 KFKA.